Psalm 66. I've still got some questions that people have written in. I'm getting a few more in. And so I'll have a little bit more time in September on Sunday night, but not a whole lot to answer a few. So we'll do some on Sunday morning. I had thought this morning that I would share with you, somebody asked some questions about the millennial reign of Christ. And that's in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. The Bible said that he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And so I was going to preach this morning on heaven in stages. Heaven in stages. When you die, the Bible said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're in His presence right now. If you're saved, when you die, you're in His presence, just like that. And you're in the very presence of God. Psalm 16:11 says this, said that in His presence is the fullness of joy, and there is pleasures forever. Thank God for that. And that's a wonderful thing. So if you, Brother Jesse, when I went over the other morning early, when they called me, he passed away, his son David met me at the door. And the day before, when I was there late on Thursday night, it was a very difficult emotional time. It was hard. They knew he's not doing well. And his son David, like you would be, like I would be, it was very difficult emotion. But when he opened the door on Friday morning after his daddy had just left, went to heaven, I said, David, I'm sorry, how you doing? He said, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. He said, my daddy is well. Hallelujah. If you believe that, and it's so, and it is so, heaven's not a bad place. Did y'all know that? Thank the Lord for that. Heaven in stages. If you died right now, you'd be in heaven, just like that. But now, if Jesus were to come back tomorrow, after you go to heaven today, you'd come back with Him. You'd come back. And not only you, but the Bible said those who die in Christ, that they'll rise first, their body be resurrected, but he'll bring them with Him. And that's the rapture of the church. And when you die, your spirit, soul, presence in the Lord, your body's in the grave. But when He comes back, the rapture, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible said, you'll come out of that grave. But not only you, He said this, but we who are alive remain until the coming of the Lord, we're going to be instantaneously changed too. We'll have a brand new body like in His glorious body, and we'll meet them in the clouds and meet Him in the air. And that's quick, buddy. In a blink of an eye, you're going to meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we go back to heaven, and we'll be in His presence. We'll have a honeymoon there for about 7 years while tribulation's going on down here. But at the end of the tribulation, He comes back. So here we are. You die now, you're in heaven. And you come back at the rapture, and you take your friends and family back to heaven with you. You get to tell them all about what was up there and what you've been seeing. And on the way back, it'd be a short trip, though you had to talk fast because just in a moment, twinkling an eye, you're back in heaven. And then we come back. And the great battle of Armageddon, we'll watch it. We'll not be participants. We'll just watch it. The Bible said a sword will go out of his mouth. He'll defeat all of his enemies. Blood will flow in that valley over there up to the horse's bridle. And then the Bible said he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And somebody said, well, that's just figurative. That doesn't really mean he's going to rule for 1,000 years. Well, when I was in Bible college down in Florida, there was an old country boy down there, and we had a professor who didn't believe exactly like you believe, like I believe, in regard to the Bible prophecy of end time thing. And he was one of those that believed that's just metaphoric. It means it's just saying it's going to be a good time forever and ever. But he said, so it doesn't really mean 1,000 years. It doesn't mean he's going to be on this earth for 1,000 years, but 4 or 5 different times it said 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. And so he went through and he kind of said, God, it's going to be a good time and so on, and you have, that's all it is to it. And old country boy back there, and he said, Doc, could I ask you a question? He said, yeah. He said, that next verse down there that you didn't deal with said, and after the 1,000 years were finished, Satan's loose for a little season. He said, if it's just a phrase, he said, how does it end? It ends at 1,000 years. And I thought, that's a pretty good question from an old country boy. And he's going to rule and reign on this verse for 1,000 years. He's going to demonstrate that he's sovereign over this whole world. The nature of the animals be changed. I guess I am preaching, but I didn't mean to preach. I was just going to tell you. That's what I wanted to preach on this morning. Amen. But this morning, God dealt my heart about Psalm 66. I want to read that psalm to you right now, and we'll share from the Word of God. Psalm 66. And after the 1,000 years are finished, the Bible said there's a new heaven, a new earth, and then that's eternity, praise God. We go on that and forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Notice in Psalm 66, But I'm going to preach on that later, not now, later. I'll preach on that. And the animal's nature be changed. You know, the Bible said that the bear and the lion and the cow eat together. They'll eat grass, be good. And you can rub them, you can pet them. And when we went up to Yellowstone, they were telling us all the animals up there, and they said, listen, there are thousands of buffalo. Don't mess with the buffalo. They look docile and everybody, but they said, don't mess with them because they are aggressive. Said, they'll turn your car over. They'll wreck your car. And they said, we have more people hurt and killed in Yellowstone every year from buffalo than anything else because people think they're cows. They're not cows. They're a wild animal. But one of these days, you can ride one of them boogers if you want to. Amen. I mean, listen, thank God for that. Amen. Amen. And no briars. Won't have any briars. I used to say during the millennial reign of Christ, there's no briars and there's no beer cans and no Hondas. Amen. Notice this, in Psalm 66, this blessed my heart today. Hope it'll bless you. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible, that is how awesome, not terrible in a bad connotation, but how awesome you are, how magnificent you are. How terrible art thou in all thy works. Through the greatness of thy power, all thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Did you know what? He's never had a battle that he didn't win, never had an enemy he couldn't conquer. He's victorious over everything, everything. And it says, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name. Here's what got my attention as I was studying and looking at the millennial reign of Christ. Did you know there's coming a day? Now, I don't know about you, but I've got where I don't feel really at home in Johnson County anymore. I remember years ago when I was pastoring in Valdosta, Georgia, I had to travel from Valdosta, Georgia, which is a good southern town, to Atlanta to go to Emory University Hospital. And it was a big, massive area. I'd been through Atlanta many times, but, you know, it's impossible to get around there just about. And I stopped at four or five different little convenience stores trying to get direction to Emory Hospital. And it's like, you know, somebody will live here at Wake Hospital, you know, but Emory's huge. It's the hospital in Atlanta. I stopped at five different places, and I got back out to the fifth stop in total frustration. My wife looked at me, and she said, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, if I could ever find an American to talk to, they could tell me how to find Emory University. Everywhere I went, it was foreigners. Well, you go up to Highway 42 now, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I've got where I don't feel at home hardly around here, except when I'm right here. Amen. I like it right here. But there's coming a day when all of the earth will worship him. And the Bible said the knowledge of the Lord will cover the land as the waters cover the sea. And I'm telling you what, everywhere you go, they'll be praising God and worshiping the Lord. Now, David saw that right here. That's the part of the millennial reign of Christ. He said, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turneth the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on foot, and there did they rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. And he said, look, he sees everything you're doing. I'm talking about here in Assyria and Syria and Israel and Africa and Suriname. He sees all the nations. He knows what's going on. And he said, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. They're going to be, but God's in control. He's in control. Now, David does this quite often. Often he starts off talking about them. Let all the nations, let all the land, let all the peoples, let the whole world worship him. That's them. He's talking about all them out there. But then he starts talking about us. Look at verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Now, if you have a marginal reference, My Schofield, that look, the word holdeth, the marginal reference says in the Hebrew, that word could be translated putteth. But I like the idea that the meaning of the word. Hebrew words, we don't have, a Hebrew word, sometimes it take 25 of our words to explain the meaning of it. If I took this book and I put it right there, that's one thing. But if I put it right there and I hold it right there, that's two different things. So I'm going to tell you, I believe the Holy Ghost of God led the translator of this King James Bible, because the Bible said that He brought me up out of a hard pit, He set my feet on a solid rock, He established my goings. And you know what the Bible says? That we are kept in His hands. You know what? Somebody said, I'm going to hold on. I heard a gospel song the other day, and you kind of had to filter through Southern gospel anymore, just about. But he said something about, I'm going to hold on to Him till the end. You'll get to the place after a while where you can't hold on. Jesse got to where he couldn't hold on. But there never will be a time he won't hold on to you. Amen. I'm glad that He holdeth us. He keeps us. Now to Him that's able to keep you from falling. He's the one to do that. I can't keep myself from falling, but He can. And he's talking about us now. He said that God keepeth, God holdeth. He's got us in His hands. And thank God for that. Thank God He holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our foot to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast given us, Thou hast proved us, Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water. But, oh, I wish Tom Gillum was here. He could really do that. Anybody been through the fire? You feel like you're going through the fire? Feel like the more you do, the worse you get? Can I tell you something honestly that I've been praying about this week? And it's not a feeling I have. It is a reality. I'm realizing that I'm not nearly as mature spiritually as I thought I was. It seemed to me like the further I go with the Lord and the more time I spend in prayer, the less spiritual I am. You say, Brother Billy, you mean you're backslid? Well, sometime I am. But I believe it has to do with the closer, and not saying that, but the closer we get to Him, the more we understand how little we are and how much we fail Him. And boy, He showed me that over and over again this week. Man, listen, I think, well, I'll do anything for the Lord, but I find out that I hesitate sometimes. And so on. But anyhow, he said, we went through the fire and through the water. Well, sometime you go through that fire, sometime you go through that water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Boy, I sure would love to deal with that a little bit. They're great riches, not necessarily money. I've had people say, I wouldn't take $10,000 for my suffering. For that surgery, for that suffering, for what I went through. I wouldn't take $1 million for it. God did some wonderful things for us. You've been through those? You go through them sometime? You think, boy, I want to be on the mountaintop all the time. But did you know that your greatest growth is always in the valley, Lynetta? Did you know that it's in the valley where He restores your soul? Thank God for that. Oh, it's a blessing to be in that fertile land of affliction, in that fertile land of fire and water. There God will nourish you and bless you and reveal Himself to you. You know, if you go into a little jeweler and they want to show you the very best they got, first thing they do is lay down a black velvet cloth, and then they'll put that sparkling jewel right in the middle of it. And you know what? God will lay out some black time for you and some hard time for you and tough time for you, because He wants to display you as that diamond to the world. Amen. Amen. David said, he said, we went through the fire and we went through the water, but, we'll make sure you see that word, Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Thank God for that. Now watch. David in this psalm, he's talked about them. All the lands, all the world, everybody. Everybody ought to know he's God. Everybody ought to worship him as God. Everybody ought to magnify his God. And then he said, we who are saved by the grace of God, who he keeps our soul, keeps our feet from stumbling, we certainly ought to worship him and praise him. Them and us. But you know, I find out that whenever I'm a reading and studying the Bible and I'm thinking about something about preaching to them and to us, invariably it always ends up about me. Not about me, but it's the Holy Ghost of God speaking to me. When I come to the house of God to worship with y'all, if I really worship, it's a very, very personal thing. I found out when I'm preaching a lot of time, and God gives me something while I'm preaching, I say it, and y'all hear it, but God's speaking to me about it. David did the same thing. Them, us. Now watch verse number 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices and fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. When you get thinking about what God's done for Israel and what God's done for America and what God's done for that group and that church, that blesses you. And when you get to think about what God has done for us as a church and as a group, that's wonderful. But somewhere along the line, God will bring it down to where it ought to be, and that's us, you and me. Revival's that way. God will send revival, but he won't send it to them. He might not send it to us, but he'll send it to you. And boy, David has got plugged in now, and God's reminding him, and the Holy Ghost of God speaking through him, of what God has done for him. And then he, in being overwhelmed with that, he says, I'm going to do some things. Look, if you will, please, verse number 13. I will go, I will go, I will go into thy house. I'm telling you right now, when personal revival happens and we really, really remember what he's done for us and how he loved us and died for us, the first place you'll want to go is to the house of God. You'll want to gather with God's people. And David said, I'm going to go to the house of God. But not only will you go, but he said this, I will go and I will pay my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. You know, I talk to a lot of people who are out of fellowship with God and they're sick or out of church or whatever. And I talk with them in the hospital and pray. And they said, preach, tell you one thing. God's put me on my back so I can look up. And I'll tell you, when I get well, I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to get back in the choir. I'm going to get involved in the ministries. I'm going to serve God. Now, thank God some folk do that, but not everybody. But David said, tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to go back to the house of God, and I'm going to do everything I told God. When I was in trouble, I promised God I'd be faithful to him. When I couldn't pay my bills, when I didn't have a job, I said, God, if you'll get me a job, if you'll let me pay my bills, if you'll help me meet the need of my family, I'm going to honor you and serve you. David said, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to do what... You know what? It's not any problem getting people to serve God. People, preachers all the time talking about, you know, what can we do to get people to serve? How you get people to do all those things? Well, first of all, Timmy and Wendy get most of them to do it. But how do you get those... It's not any problem for people to do things when they realize what God's done for them. David said, you don't have to call me twice. I'm going to be there. I'm going to get to the house of God, and I'm going to do what I said I was going to do for the glory of God. I'm going to magnify Him. I'm going to do that. He said, verse number 15, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings and the incense of ram. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. He said, I'm going to keep my word. Come and hear, all ye that fear the Lord. I will declare what He hath done for my soul. David said, I'm going to get to the house of God. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to do what I promised God I'd do. I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to give to missions. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to keep my family in church. And he said, I'm going to offer sacrifice. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to give Him glory. I'll give my tithes. I'll give to missions. I'm going to do all those things. And then he said this, I will declare what He's done to me. Witnessing and soul winning is easy when you have personal revival. You get back in church, you get serving God, you get active in the Lord, you'll just testify. It just flows out of you. We were talking about Brother David Watkins the other night, and it just seemed like it just flowed out of him. And I was telling about one time I was at the hospital with Tabitha and Joe Barron. I think Cameron was having, this a long time ago, I think he was having tonsils out of tubes or something, and he's just a little fella then. But while I was sitting in a little waiting area there, and they were back in the back, there was a dear black lady came in, an elderly lady. And I said something to her about this good day the Lord's made. And she said, sure is. I'm going to tell you, for about 20 minutes there, we talked. And she taught the King James Bible. I mean, it just rolled out of her. And she wasn't trying to put on airs. She wasn't trying to be religious. That dear saint of God just loved God. And she was talking about how good He was. And it was just real over and over again. Did you know what? When you get real close to God yourself, it's not hard to declare. David said, I'll declare it. Now, what motivates him to do that? David said this, verse 17. He said, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. David gets back to where the rubber meets the road. Do you know why people not faithful to church? It's sin, iniquity. You know why people are not faithful to God in their giving? Because of sin. You know why people don't have a testimony and they don't magnify the Lord, they don't worship like they ought to? Because of iniquity, it's sin. And David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, it'll steal my joy. Psalms 51, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And he said, give me a right spirit. It'll sour your spirit when you get out of fellowship with God. You won't feel like singing. You won't feel like praising. You won't be testifying. But he said, wash me and I shall be clean. He said, purge me of all that. And he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. You get right with God, witness is easy. You just tell Him what God did for your soul. The Apostle Paul, God used him to write 13 books of this Bible. But if you read the accounts, when he gave his testimony, he told them what God had done for him, how the Lord Jesus Christ loved him and died for him and saved him. And then he'd say this, and he's no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he'll do for you. Several years ago, or some time ago, I preached a series on a Wednesday night or Sunday night, one on hymns. And that hymn that was written years ago, the man's name skips him right now, but he wrote it and sang it. And it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. And the fellow that wrote that, and I know his name's right on the tip of my tongue, but at any rate, He had been involved in the movie industry, and he was a singer and a cowboy, and he was real good friends with John Wayne. And when he got saved and got right with God, Stuart Hamlin is his name, when he got right with God, he talked to his good friend, John Wayne. And John told him, he said, Stuart, how is it that you don't drink anymore? How is it you don't do all those things you do? I've been watching you. And you keep right on doing, you keep right on going. And he said, John, it's not me, it's the Lord. And he said, what He's done for me, He'll do for you. He'll do for others. And he said, John Wayne looked at him a few minutes, and as he began to walk off, he said, Stuart, you ought to write a song about that. And so he wrote the song, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. What is done for others, He'll do for you. And the reason David shares his testimony about what God had done for his soul is not to brag. It's a humble thing. But he said this, what God's done for me, He'll do for you. And can I tell you this morning that what God's done for many people in this building and what He's done for many people even in the internet radio audience who listen to us faithfully, He'll do for you. He'll save you. He'll forgive all of your sin. But here was the clincher. Here was the clincher. Notice what he said. Verse 19. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Now listen, that don't mean nothing to you unless you've been in trouble. That don't mean anything to you unless you've been bound by alcohol. That doesn't mean anything to you unless you have been to the place where nobody believed you anymore. Everybody give up on you. Nobody could do anything. And you in trouble. And you were so wicked, you didn't even think God would look your way. But David said, but verily He did hear my prayer. And he said, He heard me. Thank God He heard me. Thank God He heard me. When I was lost and I didn't know Him and I didn't care about Him, I was wicked and nobody else thought I'd ever do anything right. But He heard me. Thank God He heard me. Oh, listen, He'll hear you today. All you got to do is call on Him. He'll hear you. Call unto me, He said, and I'll answer thee. He said, whosoever will may come. He said, he that cometh to me, I nowise cast out. Thank God, David said, but He did hear me. Verily, verily, God did hear me. And He attended to my prayer. And listen to this. Boy, this is the testimony of every real Christian. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. He said, boy, I'm sure glad that He heard my prayer. I'm sure glad that He didn't forget mercy. I was wicked. I was guilty. I needed judgment. But I'm sure glad He heard my prayer and He didn't turn away His mercy. He was merciful unto me and forgave me and restored me. Can I tell you right now? That's when it gets good. I'm telling you right now, you can talk about God and all them out there, the world's the nations, they all ought to worship Him, they ought to praise Him, and we ought to praise Him. But when it gets right down to you, and I'm going to tell you right now, if this 250, how many people's in this building this morning, if every one of us would come face to face with the Holy God this morning, and if we know that we're saved and we remember where we were, and that thank God He did hear our prayer. Thank God He did pick us up out of a horrible pit. Thank God He did put our feet on a solid rock. Thank God He did establish our going. Thank God He did put a new song in our heart, even praise to our God. Thank God He heard my prayer. I'm glad He heard my prayer. I run into people all the time that I don't have any idea who they are. My wife will say, who was that? And I say, I don't know. I don't know who they were. They come up to me in restaurants and they have seen me or heard me or whatever, and they've heard about things. I had a lady here the other night in the wedding rehearsal. Never met her. She never met me. Never met me. She said, how are you doing now? And I said, I'm doing good. She said, we've been praying for you. I heard you'd been sick. And that was a while ago. But she said, we really prayed for you. And I said, ma'am, can I tell you? There's only one reason I'm standing right here right now. It's the prayers of God's people. Prayers of God. Oh, listen, I'm glad God will hear your prayer this morning. I'm glad. Listen to His promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're here this morning. We're not bragging, but you're here this morning and you called and He heard your prayer for salvation. Would you raise your hand? Your testimony. You're a testimony. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We don't ever need to get over that. Oh, God, people say, well, God gave me a new car. Thank God for the new car. God gave me this. God gave me that. And He does. He gives us all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing we better not ever get over. He heard my cry, heard my call, and He didn't turn His mercy away from me. Thank the Lord for that. Thank God for this wonderful psalm and for David. And I'm going to tell you, when it gets personal, that's when revival takes place. That's when revival gets place. Oh, listen, I will go back to the house of God. I will keep my vows, he said. I will offer bullocks. I will declare. Why? Because he heard my prayer and he didn't turn away mercy. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Boy, thank God. I don't know if that helped you or not, but boy, it sure did bless me this morning around 6:30, 7 o'clock. I mean, it was just a blessing to think what he's done for me. I'm going to tell you one thing. The devil will beat all of us up. He'll beat all of us up. Tell us how sorry we are and what we're not done. But listen, like Lynetta said, hadn't got nothing to do with us. We magnify him, praise him. I can tell you one thing. He heard my prayer and he didn't turn away his mercy in salvation. And I'll tell you what, if you're a Christian, you had a fellowship with God, he'll hear your prayer and he'll not turn away mercy in your repentance and getting right with God and experience real revival. I just wonder if God the Holy Ghost would move on some hearts here this morning. It's a simple message, a simple thing. David said, God done so good, he's been so good to me, I'll go to his house. I'll keep my promises to him. I'll offer my sacrifices to him. And I will declare what he's done for my soul. I don't know if God spoke to you or not, but I sure glad. Oh, listen. Y'all know what God's done here in this church, around this building. You know what God's done? What God's done through the highway shepherd and the many hundred or more around here that involved in the ministry. It is amazing. I mean, I've talked with a trucker this the other night in Oklahoma. Well, actually, he was in just come through Wyoming, but left Oklahoma, and he's in Edge, Nebraska. I've talked with him across the country. I've mailed out CDs to people in Maine, Virginia, South Carolina, Michigan, North Carolina, and there's some others I can't remember. That's people that call me. That's people that write to me. Not counting the thousands that Fred Sawyers puts out and that Chris and Miss Martha and all the rest of you and Greg I thank God for all of you. But I'm going to tell you, all those wonderful things there God's doing. He's great, terrible. God dries up the rivers and all those things, he said. He done all those things. But I tell you what got a hold of David's heart more than anything else. He heard my prayer and he extended mercy to me. Well, not ever get over it. Thank God for it. And I'm going to tell you, if you live in that, it'll keep you going when the devil's on you tough. He that gave his own son for you, freely by him, he'll give you all things. I invite you this morning to stand, if you will. If you're not saved this morning, can I say this to you? Say, Brother Billy, you know who I am, where I am, what I've done. Makes no difference. He does. He sees. I read it to you. He sees all the nations, sees everybody in it. Every little boy, every little girl, every man, every woman sees all of them. And he loved you before the foundation of the world and died for you. He's no respecter of person. He heard David's prayer. He'll hear your prayer. Dear sister over here, Barbara, last Sunday night, she called out to him. She'd been reading the Word of God, done read through the whole Gospel of John this week. Thank the Lord for that. You pray for her. She grows in the Lord. He'll hear your prayer if you call out to him. I invite you to come this morning, call out to him, ask him to save you. Christians here this morning, you've just been a little cold, a little out of fellowship. I'm telling you, you need personal revival. Remember what he did for you. Come to him this morning, ask him to purge and forgive you, and remember what he did for you. David said, I'm sure glad he heard my prayer and he didn't turn away his mercy. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will work while these men are coming around the altar already. God, help men and women, boys and girls to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. I pray, God, they come believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. God, I want to thank You for the Holy Ghost of God. Thank You for speaking to my heart today. God, I am thankful that You did not turn away Your ear from my prayer, and You did not turn away mercy. You're a gracious, wonderful God. I want to do what You want me to do, Lord. Where I failed You, God, I want to do right. I want to do what You want me to do. God, I pray, God, that You'd send revival, personal revival. God, if we have personal revival, we'll have church revival, we'll have world revival. I pray, God, that You'd move. While we're praying, Brother Brad, God, Holy Ghost leads you to sing. You sing a verse. If you're here around the altar and you need somebody to pray with you, if you'll just get my attention, raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning if I can help you. If you need somebody to pray with you, men and women to pray with men. Ladies, pray with the ladies. If you need somebody to pray with you, somebody to come pray with you this morning. Thank God for you this morning. Bless your heart. Amen. Thank God for you. He's a great God, isn't He? Amen. Thank the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Day is through. Someone slipped and failed.
Was that you?
Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you.
They said,
it is no secret what God can do.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
What He's done for others, He'll do for you.
He'll
pardon.
You can be saved this morning. You can know Christ. You can go home saved on your way to heaven.
It is no secret what God.